I'm gonna build me a pie-throwing robot that throws never-ending pies on Jake's ugly face. And he won't know what hit him, 'cause the pies are na-na-na-na-never. Na-na-na-na-never. Na-na-na-never-ending. It's never-ending pie-throwing time!
Hello, garden witches and newts with boots getting punished with toots. And welcome to Flooping the Pig, your catch-all Adventure Time podcast. I'm your favorite junkyard-dwelling gumball machine, Brad Garoon, and with me as always is Justin, the magic mud puddle Houston, and Kevin Ford, the mermaid queen. On today's episode, Man Baby Body Bagel, we're discussing episodes 13 through 16 of Adventure Time. So let's kick this off with City of Thieves. Justin, what was your take?
City of Thieves I like a lot because, again, it sort of stays on that track that they were going on, the preferred track I think we talked about in the last episode, of him being just incredibly narrow in his vision of morality. It's just it's white and black, you know, it's good and bad, and that he would never go into this place and come out a thief was a big part of the episode. And I also like that it sort of first started teasing that there was not necessarily like a bad side to Jake, but a more deviant side that we find out later is related to his past when he was younger. And as he says several times, before he knew it was wrong, is the excuse that he gives. But I really liked it a lot. I thought it was funny, and I thought it was – and when we did kind of get Dark Side Finn briefly, it was fairly psychotic and frightening, even though it didn't last very long, and it was just – it ended up with him being, you know, squeaky clean in the end anyway. But, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, too. I liked the whole atmosphere of the city. Just the story they told was really fun. I also liked the approach that they took, again, with the black and white thing Justin was talking about. Like, if you steal a loaf of bread for your family, is it really stealing or is it okay? Like, if Jake is going to – or if Finn is going to steal this magical box to get this thing's girl back, is that really okay? And it wasn't. You know, it's stealing. And – I thought there was just some fun things like she saying that everything was ridiculous. She steals Finn's clothes, and then Jake's just like, whoa, dude, why are you naked? Jake was just like playing with his stomach because he was like, oh, we want to turn your frown all the way around. And then she gets more freaked out, the girl who played them for fools. And Jake just turns away and says, like, I'm going to face the other way, but I'm just going to keep doing it.
So yeah, that's pretty great.
There's some pretty good lines in the episode, too. But yeah, I thought it was fun. I agree with Justin's points.
I'm surprised that neither of you brought up the fact that there is a certain, how can I say it best without sounding crass? Who cares? Finn was definitely talking about his virginity throughout the episode.
Oh, I didn't, you know what's funny? I really didn't kind of make that association or get that allegory. But yeah, that would make total sense.
I'm going to get your basket back from whoever took it. And then I'm going to beat my purity into them.
And then I'm going to beat your purity out of them. And then beat a sandwich into them.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole episode, he's like, you know, I'm not going to let this city take my purity. And when they do take his purity, he says, I'm impure. I was taken advantage of by the city. It made me impure.
Oh, yeah, that never resonated with me at all.
Every time I've watched it, I thought, like, this is intensely about purity, about virginity. Obviously, Finn doesn't actually lose his virginity in the episode, but I think it, like, speaks to how people feel about it. You know what? You can almost make... I think this episode would be a great one to watch when talking about slut shaming. How, like, when a girl has sex with a bunch of dudes, or even one guy, and then doesn't like him anymore, she's slut shamed because the fact that she had sex makes her a whore. It's like the fact that Finn stole a box didn't make him a bad person. He was able to move past that.
Same with Jake in the boots.
And Jake in the boots. Although, like Justin said, Jake has a bigger problem with being good. I also like that at this point in the series, and Justin did touch on this, at this point in the series, Finn is much more hardcore about being a hero than he would be later. I mean, he always wants to be a hero, but right now he's young, he's just getting into it, and he doesn't really know how to go about it. So everything really freaks him out. And later on, as we'll find, because we're really burning through these episodes, I love it. He takes a less hardcore stance and sees things with more shades of gray. This is actually one of my favorite episodes. I think it's hilarious. I'm going to probably be saying that a lot, because these episodes are amazing.
I actually almost like completely forgot about this episode when I was rewatching it, and I just really enjoyed it. I actually went back and watched it twice, because I didn't find the snail the first time, and I had no problem doing so. So, yeah, good times. Like, if I hated the episode, I wouldn't have bothered putting in the work.
I'm glad you guys liked it as much as I did. Kevin, what did you think of The Witch's Garden?
This was really weird, but in a fun, good way. I don't remember how Finn and Jake are in the Witch's Garden or why.
They were chasing a frog that had a crown, and that's they wanted right. to see him wear the crown?
Yeah, that he was just like, I just want to see what happens when he puts on the crown. All these trees are covered in donuts, and Jake is sniffing around to see if they're poisonous or not, and then the witch shows up and claims that he has eaten a donut when he says, no, I haven't. But it turns out he didn't even realize he was eating a donut. And all she wants is an apology, and since Jake will give it to her, he takes away all of his powers, which ends up turning the bottom part of his body into like that of a human baby, which is odd to say the least to see Finn's head on top of Jake's head on top of a human body. And then where the title of the episode comes from, the witch notices on one of her bushes that one of the donuts is actually a bagel, and so she turns the bagel into the bottom half of it into a man baby as well.
The stink of magic dog lips is everywhere!
Calm down!
Listen, Mrs. Witch.
I never married.
Well, I never ate your donut.
So. My favorite thing about that bagel is that on the Adventure Time Wikipedia, the bagel is listed as a minor character.
That's great. Well, because there's so many donuts in just the one bagel.
Well, also it came to life. Its arms and legs flailed around for a second.
So, Finn and Jake go off to have their adventures, and Jake doesn't realize that, oh, crap, now that I've lost my powers, like, I can't do things like jump out of the treehouse because then I just really hurt myself. And he can't morph, he can't mutate, he can't do anything. He pretty much just kind of gives up at one point and just says he's just going to be a dog. He says things like he's feeling kind of chubby tired. He's lazy but prideful. He asked Finn to rub his belly because that's the kind of dog he is. Finn gets attacked by a mermaid? Something.
Yeah, a mermaid named Gary.
A mermaid named Gary. And Jake has to save his friend, but he can't because he doesn't have his powers. So he has to make his way back to the witch's garden and say he's sorry. But he's also wrestling with his subconscious, which still has its magic powers. So for some reason, the witch makes Jake dance with his subconscious while he has, like, daisies in his pants. And she films it, I guess, for posterity. But long story short, Jake does that. While he feels some shame in it, he gets his powers back and is able to go save Finn, and they live happily ever after.
I found a few things really interesting about this episode, beyond the bagel being a minor character. One being that Carrie Kenny Silver and Maria Bamford both guest in this episode, so that's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Kind of a comedy duo, all-star duo. That Jake, this is a great episode to pair with City of Thieves, because it's another one where Jake is not, we see that he's not as virtuous as Finn. He's really quick to quit. He's a total jerk to the witch. That's not to say she's not super annoying and might not have it coming, but he's really rude to her. He can't possibly apologize. And when he does finally apologize, he lies to Finn about whether or not he apologized. So that's, I found that interesting too. And there was some other third thing, but I can't remember. So Justin, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was, there's just a lot of moments that I laughed really hard at. Mostly the Jake weirdness just hits perfectly. Specifically when he first jumps out the window with his new body and he lands with this thud because he doesn't have his powers anymore. So he can't sort of stop the impact. And he's not graceful the way that Finn is. So he just lands. And when his face looks up, it's like red in areas and he only has like three teeth. And it's just... It makes me laugh every single time. And when he learns running as well, which he always thought running was some sort of leg magic. And
it's
so
a great
seeing
line.
Him like try to pump his arms back and forth and then just almost immediately like falling out and just like giving up almost immediately, only to be carried everywhere by Finn. That was probably my favorite moment of the episode. And it was just a lot of really good laughs that, even though we didn't really learn anything, it was still incredibly funny.
I thought it was a little bit disturbing that when he was sitting on the couch with his baby body, he was playing with his baby boobs, but also funny. Leg magic far and away is one of my favorite jokes in the entire series. I don't know why it's so funny, but it's great. I also really like Finn's face when Jake first falls. He looks horrified.
Yes.
And the animation's a little bit different. I dug that a lot.
I did like when Jake was playing with his two boobs. He was like, didn't I used to have like eight of these?
Right. That was great. What a small little line. Like you never really think about Jake actually being a dog.
Jake almost reminded me of Justin in this episode.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Tell me why.
I just feel like the lines he said, like, eh, whatever. Who cares? Just him, you'll be fine. You're trapped. You can do it, buddy. I'm just going to lay here. It'll be great.
That is me right now because of like really bad sleeping habits I have. I messed up my back while I was sleeping. Like I retched it like in the middle of a dream. So getting up is always like a choice of like, is it worth being in like severe pain to go get what I'm about to do? So you start like pulling things. You're like, all right, if I'm getting up, I'm doing like three things. I'm not getting up to do one thing. That's stupid. So you start adding up the things you have to do, and you're like, nah, and you just go do it. So I suppose I could see that.
We got to find you a magic mud puddle.
Yes. I'll just roll around in it.
Are you the type of human that likes to have his belly rubbed?
Yeah, he's that kind of Justin.
I'm going to say no on that one. I'll say that's where we differ.
Okay.
Fair enough. Let's move on because this might start to get disturbing. To What is Life, which I like a lot. I think it's a really interesting episode, and it introduces a character that I dig, but I don't know that everyone would, by the name of Nepter. In this episode, Jake throws a giant garbage bag full of butter at Finn, which sounds amazing to me.
He got buttered.
And he got buttered real hard. And Finn wants to get prank revenge, so he throws together a microwave and some wheels and a tin can full of wires, draws a face on it, and is hoping to make a never-ending pie-throwing robot. That doesn't work, so he throws it out of the treehouse where it's struck by lightning and comes to life and is thankfully the exact kind of robot that he hopes it would have been. The part of that I liked best was that the face of the robot is not the face that Finn drew, but he doesn't have enough. Nepter, the never-ending pie-throwing robot, does not have enough juice to make pies or throw them. So they go to see the Ice King because the Ice King has lightning bolts, and they figure that will power up Nepter. But when they get there, we meet Gunter for the first time, I believe. I don't think he's in the princess stealing episode. And then familial issues come out, and we almost get a custody battle over Nepter. I like the episode a lot. I think Nepter, voiced by Andy Milonakis, is kind of perfect. Justin, what do you think about it?
I always struggle to get through this episode for whatever reason. I don't dislike it. I don't know. It doesn't particularly strike my fancy. There's nothing wrong with it. I can't point to any one thing. I like Andy Milonakis, so it's not like something in the back of my head where I hate the voice or something. I like the character. I don't love the character. I don't get like excited. Oh, Nepter's in this episode or anything like that. I mean, it's a fine episode, but it's really easily forgettable for me. Outside of these balloons that they take to fly to the Ice Kingdom are kind of these like pranking jerks. You know, they're like dangling, waiting when they try to leave Ice King's castle. He jumps to grab them, and they move. And he falls for a second, and then, like, two balloons kind of lift him back up. And he's like, all right, guys, you got me. And that, everything with the balloons kind of tickled me. But I don't know. I don't know why, but I struggle to get through this episode every time it's on.
That's interesting. Well, as long as you brought up the balloons, I think that this is a shout to Lord of the Rings, the Blood Oath, and they get to leave and pass on to the next world after they've fulfilled their Blood Oath to Finn. But it also makes for the darkest joke. One of the darkest jokes in the history of the series, where they say in very high-pitched voices, once their blood oath is fulfilled, yay, we can die now!
Thanks, guys. Your blood oath is fulfilled.
Yay! To the Mesosphere!
Finally, we can die!
It's weird. It's messed up.
I laughed. I loved it.
Oh, it's hilarious, but it's just dark.
Well, I think my favorite line in the whole episode is when they're in Ice King's castle and Nepter's making noise and Finn says, quiet, Nepter, Jake may wake up at any moment. Then they cut back to the house and he goes, and Jake's sleeping, goes, I might wake up at any moment. Nah, I'm still asleep. And then just rolls over and goes right back to bed. Yeah.
It's jokes like that that got me into the show in the first place. That's really good stuff.
That's a joke that Justin would make, I feel. That's why I see so much of Jake and Justin.
It's very Justin, is that why you like the show?
There are many reasons. And I gotta admit, when we're sort of playing around with with the when Danny's playing around with the action figures and things like that. She has a Finn and she has a Jake, but normally Jake's not there and I'm just Jake. So
of course.
And I'm shouting Ice King's voice and like doing so we'll just do episodes now. Because she'll do all the female characters and I'll just like do every other character. We'll just sort of talk through it like a radio show. When we're in the car or we have to like wait in a doctor's office or something, we'll just do episodes. And but my default Jake is just me. Like it's just me talking. So yeah, it's fitting.
Fair enough. Kev, you want to take us through Ocean of Fear since you just watched it very, very, very recently?
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting episode because I feel like it's just another one of those life lesson things. We find out that Finn is afraid of the ocean. It seems to be the only body of water that he is afraid of. And that becomes a problem when Jake is trying to get him over his fear of the ocean and some pretty drastic measures. And Jake ends up hitting his head or getting a wrench knocked on his head when in the submarine and falling to this pit in the ocean. And Finn is able to escape, but he realizes that he has to try to overcome his fear to go save his friend. But what he ends up doing is knocking himself out and knocking himself to the bottom of the ocean so he can wake up and help Jake out and get back to the land. He doesn't ever really overcome his fear, but I thought it was interesting because it seemed to be the lesson was not to laugh at people for their fears, that it's common to have fears. It's just to help each other out, try to work through them, do the best you can in coping with them. It just felt like it was one big lesson for kids to learn, and I kind of like that. I didn't really take a lot of notes on the episode because that's kind of what I saw it at. It was a good episode, a very good one, and Mark Hamill returned to be the voice of Jake's fear or Finn's fear that lives in his belly button. I don't know if they had a name for the sentient being of his fear, but that's all I really got. I thought it was enjoyable. The one thing was what was the creature they were pooting on in the beginning? A newt.
The newt with the poot.
You can't just go around stealing boots.
Yeah, and you know the penalty for stealing boots. It's poots on newts.
Yeah, so there was a giant newt they had chased out of the forest and gone to the ocean, and that's how they discover that he was afraid of it because Jake had no problem chasing after him and Finn did. There was a big theme in these four episodes of a lot of farting going on because in the Witch's Garden, when Jake tries to jump across or do something, he ends up just letting out a big, huge fart. In the What Is Life episode, Ice King shows that if Nepter were to stay with Jake and Finn, they would just end up pooting on him, which Nepter apparently found amusing and said, oh, I love their pranks. And then you had them being obsessed with farting on this newt. So not sure it was in the writer's brains these past three episodes, but there's a whole lot of fart jokes going on.
This episode especially, there were multiple characters that seemed to be made of farts or gas of some kind.
Right. So, yeah, I really like.
I forgot about the great fart joke from the episode where Jake lost his powers, the one where he was like, yeah, Jake boat, and like wanted to become a boat to cross the river, and instead he just sort of farted and fell over.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's I totally forgot about that one. Another huge laugh. I like this one a lot. Unlike the previous one, this one really holds my attention for a lot of reasons. I don't think it's the funniest episode per se. Like, there's not a lot of laughs, but there's just a lot of really good stuff in it. Specifically, all of Jake's ideas on how he's going to solve or, like, shake Finn of this fear. They're really bad ways of going about trying to get someone over fear. And all of Finn's facial reactions to his discovery of already being in the ocean or how he's handling the ocean or getting some ocean water on him just a little bit causes him to just lose it is really fantastic. And the resolution sort of out of nowhere with the three floating head guys coming out of nowhere and just telling them that he is a hero. I, for whatever reason, I really like that. So I like this one.
I did like in that part with the limo driver, they talked about everybody how Finn was doubting himself for being a hero because he had this fear, and they said, no, you having those fears is what makes you a hero and recognizing those. And they said, well, how come you guys didn't tell me this earlier? And it turned out the strength of the limo driver was that he was always late.
Yes.
I enjoyed
that. Yeah, and he got embarrassed and rolled up his window. That was pretty
yes,
good.
Yes, it was. I forgot about the rolling up the window. That was perfect.
I like that message in this episode. It's the first time we get like a real strong moral message. I was listening to a podcast on my way home today on Science Friday, and it was about – it doesn't matter what it was about, but – the woman this author was talking about a character that she'd written and how the character, the main character of the story, was a very tough female who wasn't, it's not that she didn't have any fears, it was that she had fear but did things anyway, which I think always makes for a more interesting story than someone who's just brave. And that's why, like, Vin Diesel movies suck, because he's not afraid of anything and he just, like, does stuff and has a cool voice. But it's why something else is better, like Adventure Time.
Right. Yeah, or, like, that's what makes, like, I think, like, part, like, the Harry Potter series so interesting.
Yeah, because Harry's scared out of his goddamn mind all the time. I also like that they spend a lot of time with the villain in the Harry Potter stories. I think I've talked about that a lot. The more you get to see where the villain's coming from, if it's an interesting place, the better the story is. Wow, we went through all that real quick.
Good for us.
So, yeah. Justin, did you find the snail at all?
No. I found the snail no times.
So I said this to Kevin earlier, and I'm going to throw it out to the world now. I propose we change the game to, did Kevin find the snail? Because I haven't found it at all either.
Wow.
So, Kevin, did you find the snail?
I found the snail 3 out of 4 episodes. The one I did not find was in City of Thieves, but I looked it up. And so I'm going to get back to that one last to explain why I did not find it. In the Witch's Garden, when they initially go to the garden back to the treehouse, like they do a cut from the garden back to the treehouse, the snail's just hanging out outside. Not really all that exciting, but there he is. What is Life? When Jake takes Neptar to the lightning room so he can be completed, he shows up shortly after the Ice King rides into the room on his isopede. Is that what they call it? Like the centipede?
Dude, you really got to work on the Jake and Finn clarity thing.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I wrote Jake and I meant Finn. Yeah, when Finn takes Neptar to be completed. My apologies. And then an Ocean of Fear, when they're out in the ocean, like Jake springs it on Finn that like he wakes up in the house and it's already in the ocean. And then Finn, he's always like beating up Jake when he's trying to save himself, and he just pulls up his ears and the wind blows them onto that island of trash. Mm-hmm. The snail's hanging out there.
Got it. So what happened with City of Thieves?
So City of Thieves, I watched it twice and I couldn't find it. I was really upset about it, so I looked it up online. And when we talked about when Jake's playing with his stomach fat,
yeah,
the snail forms in his stomach fat. Like, that's what counts as the snail for the episode. And I was just like, you motherfuckers. Because it's on the screen also for, like, all of half of a second, too.
So I'm curious about something, because it is claimed that the snail is actually in every episode. I want to see if they claim, yeah, you know what? Interestingly enough, they don't say that the snail is actually in City of Thieves. They say it's just as an imprint on Jake's belly.
Right, and I would have never thought to look there, so that's why I didn't get it. So I actually,
because it's not really there. I would say that this is a funny, strange episode where the snail does not appear, and you are off the hook.
Awesome. Okay, that made me feel a lot better when I didn't find it, because why would I have looked for it there? And like I said, it's on the screen for a very short period of time. So there you go. That's where the snail was in all those episodes.
Interesting. Okay, Twitter time. Justin, go.
It's my name, Justin J. Houston. That's my Twitter. Kevin.
At KFord13 News, where you can follow me on Twitter. Also be following at PW Ponderings on Twitter. That is the host of this year podcast. If you subscribe to it on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, you get the episodes on Sunday night earlier than when they go on the website on Monday. So there you go. Also follow at DG Cool Kids Table on Twitter. Because I'm sure eventually we will get to do a Dragon Gate podcast at some point when I'm not 20 infinities and 2 pay-per-views behind.
I will probably not be a part of that podcast, but what I will be a part of is at GaroonGate, and you can also follow me at Burger Weekly if you're so inclined, and then especially all the things that Kevin said and a little bit the thing that Justin said, because why not follow Justin? He's funny.
He doesn't tweet enough, though. I don't know. I hope you would tweet more, because they're usually amusing. It's usually funny stuff or him bitching about something.
Yeah, like the Royal Grumble. That was a good thing.
That was good times. I got to say, I hope that anyone listening to this who is a wrestling fan followed along with the real grumbling, because that was good times. And really, I wanted to stay up and continue to grumble with you, Brad, because I remember you tweeting out saying, I'm not done with this. Like, yeah. Someone else out there has got to keep fueling this fire. And my new phone, it's so hard to text or tweet from it. I got to get a new like keyboard app for it. It's so bad that anytime I try to, I have to type it one like poke at a time and look up, okay, it registered it right, and it just takes forever, so I couldn't keep up.
Well, luckily I did find other people to Royal Grumble with me. Not they weren't very funny, which was a shame. I wanted people to say funny things about how terrible that show was, but but oh well. And then Kevin was at it, so he wasn't available.
Sorry.
It's okay. I hope you had fun with your one good match.
I had a blast. You know, despite Batista winning, I actually thought the Rumble was really fun. Like the Rumble match itself.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, because none of the rest of us did. That said, thank you all for listening. Tell your Adventure Time-loving friends so that we remain motivated to plow through these episodes. This podcast is a blast to do, but we do it in the hopes that people actually listen to it. And that said, this has been Flooping the Pig.
I floop the pig.